service this evening, considering Psalm 35. Now, as I've been studying through these Psalms, and as I began to read and study and meditate upon this Psalm, and that's what I do, I look at it for a day or two, and read it, and reread it, and study it, and do some word searches, and look at it again, and then meditate on it, and then consider it one more time, and then again, and then try to ask the Lord to give me a message for you this evening. As I began to read and study and meditate upon this psalm, David looked exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ for all help, all strength, all salvation, all defense, all deliverance. David held out no hope that he in himself could defeat the enemy, that he himself could satisfy God in his holiness, what the law of God required. David held out no hope that in himself he could satisfy God or defeat the enemy. Too great, too mighty, too big. Even so, likewise, you who believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you look exclusively unto the Lord Jesus for all salvation, for all hope, for all righteousness? Can't you say with David, although it be not so with my house, he had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and is sure this is all my hope and all my salvation? Can't you say with Peter, as he stands boldly, him and John, before that council that were considering to put away their ministry, to put an end to their ministry, yea, even to take away their life, and Peter boldly said, if you want to know in whose name this cripple was healed, let it be known unto you this day that through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man does stand before you here whole. And neither, by the way, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Only through Christ. Now, as we study this gospel, let us look, as we study this psalm, rather, let us look for the gospel of Christ. And that's what we do when we read the scriptures. We look for the gospel. We look for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We look for the good news of salvation for sinners, the blessing that God has in store for his covenant people, for whom the Lord, for Christ does justify his people by his blood. We read in Romans chapter 5, I think you considered that last week. And it reminds me of a statement that Spurgeon made years ago. He said, if I had just five words to preach, and that's all I could preach, would just repeat these five words, it would be that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's going to save every last one of his lost sheep. Not one will be missing. I like that scripture over there in Hebrews 2, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, behold, I and the children, we're all here. Not a one of them missing. All that the Father has given to me, our Lord said, they will come to me, and I will in no way cast them out. I'll raise every one of them up at the last day. Not one of God's elect will be missing. All will be redeemed by his glorious blood sacrifice. Effectual, eternal, powerful to the putting away our sin and the satisfying of God's holy law and justice. Now, point number one. The first thing we see in this psalm is the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner's advocate. The sinner's advocate. The mediator. The intercessor. Notice verses 1 and 2. And this is the title of the message found in verse 2. Stand up for my help. David here cries unto the Lord, Lord, plead my cause with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and take hold of buckler and stand up for me. I'm too weak to stand for myself. And here we see the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said earlier, advocate, mediator, intercessor. Plead my cause. Stand up for my help. Now notice also verse 23. David says, Lord, stir up yourself. Stir up thyself. Awake to my judgment. Awake to my need. Even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Again, he says down in verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Lord, stand up for my help. We have as believers, now think about this. We have as believers the unique opportunity, delight, and pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ representing us and standing up for us. Now let me give you several things. First of all, as the surety of the everlasting covenant, as that surety of that covenant of grace. The surety is a guarantor. He makes it good to the satisfaction of God. I'm trying to find Hebrews chapter 7. Turn there if you want to follow with me. Hebrews chapter 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the surety of the better testament. Better sacrifices. The better high priest. Hebrews 7:22 says, by so much was Jesus, the Lord Jesus, made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Those priests died year after year after year. They brought many sacrifices that never put away sin. He offered one that did put away sin. By the one offering he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore he is able also to save them. His covenant people, his elect, to the uttermost or forevermore. And they come to God by him. Our Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, by me, if he enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. He shall go in and out, and he shall find plenty. Out of sin, out of bondage, into liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's a surety of that covenant. Now we have a good picture of that over in Genesis chapter 43. You remember the story of the children of Israel, how they ended up in Egypt, and how they went down there and how they sold out their brother Joseph, that is the sons of Jacob, sold out Joseph and he was sold into captivity. Well, God had another purpose in all of that and raised up Joseph to be king down in Egypt. And the brethren came seeking bread, came seeking corn, and he sent all the brethren back but Benjamin. He kept Benjamin, remember? In Genesis 43, verse 9, Joseph gave the men instruction to bring Benjamin, but anyhow, to bring Benjamin back. But here's the point I'm trying to make: Judah stood up as the surety for Benjamin. Now in Genesis 43, verse 9, I will be surety for him; of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, set him before thee, and let me bear the blame. Judah is saying, I will be surety for Benjamin. I bear all the responsibility, and if I don't bring him home, here's the point. Now, I remember the story now. I ought to research this better before I try to say these things. But Joseph required for the brethren to bring Benjamin down into Egypt. That was the story. And Jacob said, now Joseph is not. You're not taking Benjamin, my favorite son. And Judah stood up and said, you let him go. I'll be surety for him. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came out of the tribe of Judah. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. Earlier, Reuben stood up and said, I'll be surety for Benjamin. You send him down there with me. And Jacob said, no, it's not going to work with Reuben. You see, that doesn't fulfill the type. It had to be Judah. Judah. The point I'm trying to make is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the guarantee of our salvation. He is responsible to accomplish my salvation. He is responsible to accomplish my salvation. Stand up for my help. Just as Judah said to Jacob, you send Benjamin with me, and if I don't bring him back, you require that at my hand. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say the same thing unto the Father? All that the Father hath given to me, I'll bring them home. I'll bear the responsibility. I'll pay their debt. I'll fulfill God's law. I'll do all those things, and I'll bring them all home. Not one will be lost. The Lord Jesus Christ is that surety of the covenant of grace. Something else, the Lord Jesus Christ stands up for our help at not only as a surety of the covenant, but as the obedient and righteous servant unto death. The obedient and righteous servant unto death. In Philippians chapter 2, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, it's his righteousness, it's his faithfulness, not mine. His faithfulness. Stand up for my help. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians, it's through the faithfulness of Christ that we have salvation. It's not by our faithfulness. How frail and how puny and how fickle. Just think how miserable you'd be if you thought that your salvation depended upon your faithfulness. Now, I want to be faithful, but I can't be faithful enough to satisfy God in all things. But I tell you, I have one who does stand up for me. I have one who does stand up for my help, who is the faithful, righteous servant who obeyed God in every jot and tittle of that law, who worked out for me a perfect righteousness unto God. And this is the faithfulness by which we are blessed through Christ. Galatians 2:16. Did I tell you to turn there? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if you get any modern, that's why I think one the King James is stick with it. Now, don't go to these other, you may consult these other translations, but here's what they'll do with that verse. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. They'll change that word from of to in. That changes the whole meaning of the gospel. It's not through my faith. It's through His faithfulness. By the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Him. Now there's our faith. It's God given. That we might be justified. Now watch it. Justified by the faith of Christ. Amen. Now you look at any modern translation and they'll switch that around. They'll switch that around. And it says this. That's just not the only isolated place of it. There's other places that is given to us. Find over here at Philippians 3. I think here's another one here. Philippians 3:9. This is one of my favorite texts in Scripture. Philippians 3:9, be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. You see, He's the obedient, righteous servant unto God. Stand up for my help, Lord. Stand up for my help as the surety, as the obedient, righteous servant. It says that in Isaiah 53. It calls Him my righteous servant. He shall justify many, for He shall save His people from their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, not only as a surety, as the obedient, righteous servant, but as a lamb and sacrifice of God. Lord, stand up for my help. You know, sin's pretty difficult to put away. Matter of fact, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. All my repentance, all my doing, all my giving can never put away sin. Sin is difficult to put away. It took the appointed Lamb of God to put away sin, and He did so not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own blood. Seeing we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, He didn't bring the typical animal sacrifice, but His own blood, and with the sacrifice of His own blood, God bought the church with His own blood. He obtained for us eternal redemption with His own blood. Stand up for my help, Lord, as my surety, as my righteousness, as my sacrifice unto God. John identified the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, the Lamb that's of God, God's Lamb, to do God's business in redeeming God's sheep, and in doing so in such a way that's honoring to God's holy justice. Not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ stands up for our help as the advocate, as the sacrifice, as the obedient servant unto the Lord, whereby He worked out for us a perfect righteousness. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to honor the law of God for us. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And as the advocate and intercessor, the Lord stands up for us now and eternally. How about that day of judgment? It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. Would you dare? Would you even entertain the thought of standing before God's holy, infinite, eternal justice in the puny merit of your flesh? Would you even entertain such a notion? Not at all. Not a believer wouldn't. A believer wouldn't. In that day of judgment, and the Lord Jesus Christ will stand up for my help. He'll answer for me. I've put away His sin. I've worked out righteousness for Him. I've given Him salvation. Lord, stand up for my help in that day. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He is my mediator now, and He will be my mediator and advocate, not as long as I hold out, but eternally. Eternally. He saves us with an everlasting, everlasting salvation. He is the mediator. And you know, there's just one. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. That is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not the advocate for all. He's not the mediator for all. He's the mediator of His covenant people. And He is our advocate. He is our advocate. Lord, stand up an advocate for me. You wouldn't even, if you were in serious trouble with the law of the state of, we're in the state of Tennessee, if you were in serious trouble with the law of Tennessee had a charge against you, you would not dare go before the Supreme Court or any court in the state of Tennessee to represent yourself, would you? To deal with matters legal and just by the state, the laws of the state of Tennessee. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't go there. And yet men think they can stand before God and come before God without the appointed advocate and mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's insanity. That's what that is. Judgment, where have you gone? Reason, where have you fled to? That's insanity. My friend, we need an advocate. We need a mediator. We need an intercessor. We need a surety. We need a sacrifice. We need a righteousness. You see what David's pleading here? Lord, stand up for my help. Stand up for my help. You see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, when He stands up for us in the gospel, He gives us a complete victory over all things. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that He has given us the victory. The victory. The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our victory. You know, I'm not among those who are saying, you know, we're living a victorious life. Christ is our victory. Amen. Christ is our victory. That kind of seems to me like a little bit of a boast in the flesh. Those who say, you know, or those who would even go so far as to advocate, you know, we're living above sin. Oh, no. The only time I've ever lived above sin is, and I'm making light here, but the only time I've ever lived above sin is when I've stayed in a motel on the second floor over someone down on the first floor. That's the only time I've lived above sin. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of someone to stand up for my help. We have the victory only in Christ Jesus, my friend. Now here's the second thing. We see that first point's pretty good, isn't it? Well, I've got three more, so hold on. We see the Lord, you folks are an easy bunch to preach to. We see the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners. Verse 3. It says, draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me, and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. He says it again in verse 9. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in His salvation. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. We rejoice in His salvation. His salvation. Find Psalm 37:39. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. Verse 39, I'm sorry. Psalm 37:39. But the salvation of the Lord is of the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. We rejoice in His salvation. The salvation of the Lord's people, now listen, is totally of His doing. His doing. He planned it. He planned it a long time ago. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He planned it. He purposed it. He accomplished it. He applies that salvation. And He will, in God's own time, finish it to its ultimate end to make us just like Christ. That's what predestination is all about. Religious people who are lost, they think predestination is an ugly word. No, it's a Bible word. Amen. Predestination has all to do what God is going to make those people just. He predestinated them to be just like Christ, conformed to His image. Who doesn't want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Every believer does. That's a blessed, blessed gospel truth. He's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we rejoice in Him as the only Savior. I want to show you two testimonies of two dear believers who found the same hope and comfort as David did. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. Luke 1, 47. Luke 1, 47. Mary said, Luke 1, 47, verse 46, we'll begin there. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary's hope was not in herself. Mary's hope was not the fact that she was blessed of God, highly favored among women, to give birth to the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But her hope and her rejoicing was not in herself. Her hope and her rejoicing was in God, my Savior. I like that term. Paul uses it in Titus and in Timothy. God, my Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. Salvation is in a person. It's in Christ. Now Luke chapter 2. Now turn there. Luke 2. Luke 2, 28. Luke 2, 28. You remember the story of Simeon? Just and devout, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And when they brought the babe, the Lord Jesus, when he was 8 days old to circumcise him according to the custom of the law. Even as an infant child, he was obedient to the law of God. Being circumcised the eighth day was considered the most valid legal circumcision. And then Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God, verse 28, and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The Lord Jesus Christ is all of God's salvation. Everything that God has provided for any guilty sinner is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ Jesus we stand, what's the word? Complete in Him. Complete. That means nothing need be added. If I'm complete, that is full. If you take that cup and fill it all the way up till it runs over, can you put any more in? No. We're full in Christ. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and we stand as believers completely justified, completely forgiven, completely sanctified. He is our sanctification. He is our righteousness. It says that in 1 Corinthians 1:30, doesn't it? But of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that would glory, let him glory only in the Lord. So, our hope of salvation is in Christ alone. That was David's hope. David's hope wasn't, you know, I've been king. No. His hope was in Christ, his Savior, his Lord. Now, here's point number three. Christ was David's joy, David's peace, and Christ is our joy. In Psalm 35, look at down at verse 9. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. My soul shall be joyful. Now, it doesn't say we're joyful in the heartache, the trouble, the trial. Those things hurt. They hurt. We don't rejoice in the pain, the anguish. We rejoice and we are joyful in Him is our joy. In Him's our peace. You see what I'm saying? He is our joy. We shall rejoice in His salvation. Again in verse 18 in our text. Christ is our joy and we give thanks. I will give thanks. I'll give thee thanks in the great congregation. I'll praise thee among the people. Christ is our joy. He's the object of our worship. Again in verse 18. Well, I said verse 18. Verse 27. Let them shout for joy. Let them give thanks and let them shout for joy. Be glad. Be glad. That favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. So we joy as believers, we joy in Christ Jesus. Turn over here to Philippians chapter 3. Back to Philippians chapter 3. And this time let's consider verse 1 for just a moment. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren. Now consider when Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, he's in jail. He's in Rome. He's in prison. But he says here in Philippians 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of false preachers. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of those who would mutilate the flesh and call that righteousness, concision. For we are the true Israel, which are circumcised in the heart, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Christ is our joy. He is our peace. He is our happiness. Therefore, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. When? Always. And again I say it, rejoice
in the Lord.
We joy in Him. Now, we joy in His person, who He is. We joy in His person. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God. Mary said, I rejoice in God, my Savior. We rejoice in His person, who He is. He is totally and fully 100% God. And He's the God-man, mediator. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. How can He be God and man in one blessed person? I don't know. I can't explain it. But it's so. The Word of God says so. I believe it. I can't explain it. You know, preaching is not explaining. Preaching is declaring. I declare unto you that He is God. Our Lord said, He's seen me, He's seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
Justified, vindicated by God the Holy Spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles and received up into glory. We joy in His person, don't we? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. You know, there's the reason right in that verse there. The reason for grace. Can you think of any reason for grace? Grace. Grace for grace. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. The only reason for grace, God being gracious unto us, is because He is gracious. I'm not deserving. He's merciful. I don't merit His mercy. I don't merit His favor. It's the sovereign favor of God. He'll be gracious to whom He will be gracious, but He will be gracious. We glory in His person. We glory in His redeeming, redemptive work. For He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For the law of God says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Get a copy of William Huntington's book on the believer's... What's the title of that book? The Believer's Rule of Life. I think that's what it is. William Huntington, I was reading some of that here the last couple of weeks. Oh, it's excellent. Get a copy of that and read it. The believer's not under the law. He's under Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Dead to the law through the body of Christ. Preacher, what's your position on the law? Dead. Dead. He's already killed me. It cannot take any effect upon me. Dead to the law through the body of Christ. Through Christ being crucified, the law of God has executed my substitute, my surety. Therefore, being satisfied, it has no claim on me. Not at all. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He's made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You remember the book of Galatians deals with that issue of law and grace, doesn't it? Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We've been set free. Free from the law, oh, happy condition. Jesus had died and there is remission. There's a song I'm trying to remember about the law and its demands. And the gospel bids a sweeter song. Run, run, the law demands. Run, run, the law demands. But gives me neither feet nor hands. The gospel bids a sweeter song. It bids me fly and gives me wings. John Bunyan, look it up and read the rest of it. We're free from the law through the body of Christ. For the law shall not have dominion over you, for Christ has set us free. Free from the law. Oh, blessed, happy condition. We joy in His glorious work, what He did, who He is. And we joy in His salvation. And you know, there's a well of salvation that we rejoice in. Turn to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, Isaiah 12, 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw out of the wells of salvation. In that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, and make mention that his name is exalted, and sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent thing. This is known in all the earth. We draw water out of the well of salvation. Our Lord said, there'll be a well of water springing up into you, in you, that brings forth everlasting life. Well, that's point number three. Here's the last one is this. We see the Lord Jesus Christ as our defender and as our deliverer. In Psalm 35, verse 10, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like thee? Now, there's a significant. Take your pencil and mark this. Who is like thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? I can't deal with my sin. It's too much for me. It's too strong for me. Look over here at Psalm 38. Psalm 38, verse 4. My iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. You see that? Psalm 38, 4. They're too heavy for me. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and needy from him that spoileth him. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee? Down in verse 17. The Lord is our deliverer. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from destruction, from their destruction, my darling from the lions. David's only hope of being delivered was through Christ and him alone. Now, two things I see here, maybe three. There is no deliverer like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called in Romans 11:36. The deliverer shall redeem and deliver all his people. No one delivers like he does. Not even UPS. Not even FedEx. No one delivers like the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivers completely, totally, and forever. He delivers us from all sin, from all our sin. The question is asked in verse 10, who is like thee? Anybody like you know anybody like him? Does he have an equal? Isaiah said repeatedly, I am God. Beside me there is no other. There's no other Savior, the only just God and Savior. But that phrase there brought this verse to my mind, Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Who is like thee? Now that's a good phrase. You get up, one of you men get a message on that. Who is like thee? There's none like him. There's none like him. Look what it says here in Exodus 15. Now, I talked about Israel being in Egypt. Now they've redeemed and they've gone through the Red Sea and the enemy has been destroyed. And they are singing on the other bank, being completely delivered by the power of God. And they sing this song in Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Now notice the marginal reference there if you have the Cambridge. It has all those references there. And I'll let you go look them up. But stay here in the book of Psalms and look at Psalm 71, verse 19. 71, verse 19. Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Psalm 71, verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like thee? Who's like him? There's none like him. There's none like him. Staying in the book of Psalms, Psalm 86, verse 8. Psalm 86, verse 8. Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise? Psalm 86, verse 8. Among the gods there is none like thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. Our Lord said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Psalm 89:8. Turn there. Psalm 89 verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? There's none like him. No one's faithful like him. No one glorious in holiness like him. Now notice carefully the kind of folks he does deliver and rescue back in our text. He delivers the poor and needy. Not the rich and famous. They're rich, they say, increased with goods and have need of nothing. He delivers the poor. Now if you can come in here, if you can identify with these folks here, you have a strong deliverer, an advocate, a mediator, an intercessor. The poor and needy. The poor and needy. He delivers the poor and needy. See what he's saying here is salvation is for sinners. Find Psalm 40 verse 17. Psalm 40 verse 17. I am poor and needy, David said, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. Poor and needy. Psalm 70. Turn over there. Psalm 70 verse 5. I keep you busy here. Psalm 70 verse 5. I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help. Remember where we started? Stand up for our help. You're my help. You're my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Make no tarrying. When we are delivered, we do give thanks unto him now and eternally. That is the eternal occupation of the redeemed unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Now, did I tell you there were 4 points of this message? Well, I misled you because I just found point number 5. We see the Lord Jesus Christ as our only righteousness before God. In verse Psalm 35, verse 24. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness. Save me according to your righteousness. And let them not rejoice over me. In verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause or this righteousness. Again, down here in verse 28, my tongue, now here's what we do. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Now, we don't go around bragging about our righteousness. I trust you don't. Because all of our righteousnesses are as, and it's plural, righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. But as believers, oh, I love to talk about his righteousness. Now, I can come in there. I can identify with his righteousness because he's given that to me. That he is the Lord, our righteousness. It says that in Jeremiah. He shall be called, it says in Jeremiah 23:5, he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And did you ever notice the reference that's given there, Jeremiah 33:16, when it talked about the righteous branch of the Lord, he shall come and he shall be called, where, and then it changes the pronoun, whereby she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's my name. You see, when a lady marries a man, she takes his name. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is married to him. And what's true of the head is true of the body. He's our righteousness. The head is righteous, and so is his body. We stand complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we talk of his righteousness. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. That's a blessed man. We talk of his righteousness. It's a justifying righteousness before God. Psalm 71 verse 15. And I would encourage you to jot this down and read this entire psalm tomorrow. Tonight if you'd like to. But definitely do it tomorrow. Make a mental note right now and read Psalm 71. Look at verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Now I come in right here, verse 18. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed. Oh God. You know, when I started here, I don't think I was near as gray-headed as I am now. I'm almost white-headed. Now when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation, thy power to everyone that has come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hath done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. His righteousness. We see, we go right back to where we started. I realize I read that verse a moment ago, but it's a quote, as Paul Harvey used to say, it is a quote worth requoting. Look at verse 19. I just read verse 19. Let's try verse 24. In Psalm 71, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. They are confounded. They are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. You see, the believers like David do not trust themselves, their righteousness. They don't trust in themselves for righteousness. We're not righteous by our deeds. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Nor do believers go about to establish a righteousness, either to obtain God's favor or to remove his wrath. That would be a miserable thing to try to do, wouldn't it? How good you got to be? Well, you got to be as good as God. To be accepted, it must be perfect to be accepted. I can't do that. Forget it. Rest in Christ. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Believers like David, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is made unto us our righteousness. No wonder the Apostle Paul said he counted all things lost and ruined and dung that he might win Christ and be found in him, in Christ, not having that righteousness which is of the law. I quoted that verse a while ago, didn't I? But I quote it again. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. By faith. Well,